today on Real Radio.
So if we today go about trying to be good enough to earn our position with God, to somehow say to God, look how long I've prayed. Lord, look how much Bible I've read. Oh God, I've led 3 people to Christ this week alone. Look at me. Does that somehow better our position with God? Not at all.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Let's Make a Deal, Part 2, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 3 today, verses 15 through 29. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. In Let's Make a Deal, Part 1, we learned that God made a deal, not with us, or with His angels, but with Himself, and that He guarantees the salvation of all those who would put their faith in Jesus Christ. God is the one who implements, preserves, and brings to pass salvation through faith in Christ alone. For the moment we begin to add works to our salvation, well, we'll be in error, and God's grace would be in vain. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the law is no greater than the promises of God. The law was added to intensify a person's sinfulness while shining a light on God's holiness. We are all confined under our sin and guilt so that the promises of God can be given to those who believe. And now, in his lesson called Let's Make a Deal, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Would you grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3 as we are continuing our study together. We are in part 2 of a message entitled Let's Make a Deal. And God does that, not with us, not with angels, but as we've been learning in Galatians chapter 3, God made a deal with Himself that He would guarantee the salvation of all those who would put their trust in Jesus, that God would be the one who would implement and preserve and bring to pass for us salvation through Jesus Christ. The book of Galatians teaching us that salvation comes by faith in Jesus alone plus nothing. And that's been a very strong and key teaching of Paul. And so it should be, because the moment we begin, as those in the area of Galatia was experiencing, the moment we begin to add to our salvation anything by way of works, we begin to err and in fact fall from grace. God's grace, unearned, unmerited is the word, freely given. God's grace is given to all of us, says the Bible, even when we did not deserve it. And frankly, we don't deserve God's grace. God's grace is huge, beyond our ability to take in scope. Galatians chapter 3, and just by way of review, we'll look at the portion of Scripture again. Galatians 3, beginning at verse 15, he says, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men," or regarding the things of man or of the earth. "Though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed, and no one annuls or adds to it. Now, to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. "Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could give life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for faith, which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. It's either by the law, man is going to live his life and try to achieve status with God, or it's by simple faith in Christ. God gives the law for a specific reason. We shall see today why. But before the law was ever given through Moses, any rule, any requirement that came through Moses, anything written in stone, God first makes a promise to Abraham that God would justify mankind by faith in Jesus Christ. So then, is the law something that ought not to have been introduced? Oh no, it needed to be introduced. To be kept? No. On the contrary, to show that man, you and I, cannot keep it. So if we today go about trying to be good enough to earn our position with God, to somehow say to God, look how long I've prayed. Lord, look how much Bible I've read. Oh God, I've led 3 people to Christ this week alone. Look at me. Does that somehow better our position with God? Not at all. Those things should come out of our lives because we do know God. They cannot be acceptable to God in getting to know Him. God is not interested in religion, but relationship, as we've been studying. So we've looked first time in our study, part 1, in verses 15 through 18, that the law of God cannot change the promises of God. That in fact, we see that the promises came first. God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15, stating that because you believe in me, Abraham, I declare you righteous. The promise comes first before the law ever came. And we saw that the law cannot change the promises of God, not only because it came first, but frankly, because God's promises are unchangeable. They do not change. The law had a beginning point and the law had a concluding point. In Jesus Christ, I might add. God's promises do not change. Aren't you glad that when God makes a promise, it sticks? The promises He makes, He does not alter. That's why, yet another reason why the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. I tell you, in a constantly changing world, I'm so glad that God's promises do not change. His promises came first. They're unchanging. And we learned also that God's promises require no performance of man. They are unilaterally and unconditionally given. Abraham, when God declared him righteous, was not involved in some religious act. Abraham was not even making sacrifice. Abraham was listening to God and responded in believing in Him. Now, as we come to our study, part 2 of our message, our second point is this. In verses 19 to 20, the law is not greater than the promises of God. He says in verse 19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. That is Moses. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. The latter end of verse 20 introduces to us the whole argument. There's a place for a mediator, someone who brokers an agreement or a deal between someone, say party A and party B, and there is built into the need of a mediator, one to bring them together because there's a rift, there's a division. You bring in a mediator to get group A and group B together. Concerning the law, God used Moses to bring the people of Israel and God together at a common place. I say that up front to tell you that that verse 20 ends by stating, yet God is one. Meaning that whatever God has promised precedes, supersedes whatever requires, listen, whatever requires a mediator. There's a season for a mediator. We'll see how and when that applies. So the law is not greater than the promises of God. How so? Verse 19 teaches us that the law was only temporary. Boy, I tell you, those of you who are struggling to be legalistic with God and to be upright with God through your own performance, you need to consider something. The law was given as a fleeting thing, a temporary thing, something that would come and then would go. So let me ask you this. Let me challenge you, friend. If you're trying to earn status with God right now, and maybe you've come from a cult, or maybe you've come from some church background in a denominational setting that has put forth to you a yoke, as Jesus would put it, that you would perform certain rules and rites by which you would be acceptable in that church. If you just do this, 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 then you can be a member. If you don't do this and don't do this and don't do the other, you can be a super member. You know, there are all the thou shalt nots and thou shalt nots, and then there are the thou better do's. No, Jesus doesn't work like that. The gospel's not that way. That's why I believe the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus has a home in the hearts of people walking right now on the streets of Sunset and Vine. It has a home right now in the hearts of people walking down Fifth and Broadway. Or maybe somebody that's, you know, resorting right now in some wonderful cabin in the mountains and they're wondering what life is all about. God's unadulterated gospel has a home in a heart that is searching for salvation, for life, for meaning. No wonder why the Bible says, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. The law is fleeting. It's temporary. What does the purpose of the law provide for us? He says right here, first of all, in its temporary state, it was added. Can you circle that? The law was added, meaning that there's a weakness to the law. There's a purpose, yes, but there's a weakness. Paul teaches us in the book of Romans that the law cannot save a man. Being legalistic cannot save you. In fact, it only alienates you further from God. The law was added, meaning that it was to serve a specific purpose. Listen, it was added, class, listen, it was not a substitute. That's key. It was an addition, not a substitute. Very important. The word added here in Greek is a very powerful word. It means to place alongside. The word means beside something that already exists. The law is placed alongside something that already exists. That's why Paul uses this Greek word. The law is something that is placed alongside that which is already there. I think you know what that already there thing is, don't you? It's the promise that God gave to Abraham that if you believe in him, you will be declared righteous. So this is very powerful. The word also means not only to be laid alongside something that already exists, but to magnify that thing. The law is to magnify the promises of God. The word also means to direct towards what is primary. It's a very big word, isn't it? You thought it was a little word in your Bible added. And the Greek is pregnant with meaning. That God gave the law to come down alongside the promise to point everyone to the promises. To direct people's eyes and attention to the promises of God. Not the law. The law, the Ten Commandments, was never given that you might attain salvation through them. In fact, it was given to frustrate you. Did you know that? So you know God wouldn't do that to me. Oh, you want to bet. To get you to come to the end of yourself. Why? Because you and I are stinkers when it comes to self-performance. Well, how good are you? Well, I'm probably better than you. That's in people's minds. Look at that guy in the street corner. Look what he's doing. Thank you, God, I'm not like that. That's exactly what you're doing. And the law comes in and says, you who judge another man, are you perfect? No, but I'm not like him. And the law demands perfection. It's to frustrate you and I, to bring us to that place of saying, Lord, who can be saved? You ever think like that or felt like that before you came to Christ? Who can be saved? And before we heard the gospel, what did we think? Oh, they're a really good person. You know, when you get to heaven, will you think of me? Or look how much money they gave to that benevolent cause. Oh, you're so good. And yet the Bible says there are none good, no, not one. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you may not like that this morning. Now, I got to tell you, as a Christian, as one who knows the Bible, I say, bring it on. Just bring it on. Lay it on me. And you say, man, you're a freak. Probably. But you know what? Knowing the Bible, it's like, Lord, I know how wretched I am. Your Bible has laid my life out open before you. I'm naked before you, God. I am nothing without you. But thank God through Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. That while I was still yet dead in my sins, Christ died for me. Galatians 2:20 taught us that we are crucified with Christ. That sounds pretty brutal. It is brutal, but it doesn't end there. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it is not I, that is any longer, who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live by faith, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, that's freedom. Well, what do I do to get that? Believe. What must I do to do the works of God? Jesus says, believe on him whom God has sent. He didn't say run around, you know, 10 times, give me some money, put this sack over your head, mourn for a while, beat yourself up, sell all that you have. You know what? Go door to door, ride 10 speeds, hand out tracts, do this, and you're going to make it. None of that. You say, are you sure? I'm sure. Read the word. Read the Bible. The law is not greater than the promises of God. It was temporary. The law was to illuminate more the promises of God. Jot these down. I'll try to go through them slow, but I'll probably run through them because of time. The law. Number one, the law was to intensify man's sin. Number two, the law shines forth the holiness of God. Number three, the law brings guilt upon every person. Yeah, guilt. Guilt's a good thing. Did you know that? Guilt's a good thing. It becomes a bad thing when you fail to deal with it. Guilt is a good thing. It's to illuminate our sinfulness. Number four, the law condemns all human race under sin. Number five, the law brings about a true confession. And that's where salvation begins. The first word of the gospel. Anybody know what the first word of the gospel is? You may find it surprising. The first word of the gospel is not, oh, happy day. It's not that. The first word of the gospel is not what you might be thinking. The very first word of the gospel is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The law is used in the act of repentance. The Holy Spirit uses the law to get you to say the confession. Jesus, I've sinned against you. Father, I've erred. And God, I don't deserve you. The law is at work. Luke chapter 5, verse 8. Peter knows something about this. Peter fell down at Jesus' feet, says the Bible, and he says, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Confession. God can work with that. It's the person who says, God, you know, I'm something. God cannot work with that person because they see themselves as righteous in and of themselves. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we see that the law points and directs us to the fact that we're sinners. Romans 7, verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would never have known sin, Paul says, except through the law. Now we see here in this word transgression in verse 19, the word transgression is a pretty amazing word. The word in Greek is parabasis. It means this, the breaking. It means a direct violation, to err with intent. So what do you mean to err with intent? It means this. I read in a book one time, the best description of this. A man took his daughter to a basketball game, a professional basketball game, and she was quite antsy, and he said, honey, you can go anywhere you want in the stadium, but don't you dare cross that line down there, because you go out there, you're going to get hurt. There are big boys running around. Don't cross that line. You can do anything you want, sweetheart, but don't cross that line. And so that little girl went just pigtails and all that stuff bouncing down the aisle. And she goes, and he's enjoying the game. And his friend nudges him and says, hey, isn't that your little girl down there? And he looks, and that little sweetie is looking right back at her dad. And she's got one leg up in the air and the other leg standing just this side of the line. And she's looking at him like, what are you going to do about it? And she plants that foot right onto the court. That's transgression. It is to err with intent. I know what's wrong. I know what's right, but I'm going to do the wrong thing anyway. That's called transgression. To sin is a different word altogether. To sin, it's an ancient Olympic term. It means to pull out your arrow. You draw back as you're shooting at the target, and you launch that arrow, and it doesn't matter if the arrow misses by a mile or misses by a quarter of an inch. If it missed the target, the judge would yell back at the archer, "Sinner!" And the guy would say, "Oh, man." And he'd have to sit down. The next guy would get up. And if that guy missed the target, that judge would say, "Sinner!" The word sinner means to miss the target. Who hasn't missed the target? If you haven't, we need to talk to you right away. Different from sin, transgression, is willful intent. Jesus came, by the way, the Bible tells us, under the law, that he might fulfill the law for us. In verses 19 to 20, we also learn regarding the law not being greater than the promises of God is that the law needed a mediator. God's promises don't. He gives you those things directly in the Bible. He tells you. Now, look, I don't know how you're doing, but I hope you're doing well. But if you're not, you ought to read the Bible because it's full of promises. Feeling kind of under the weather? Read the promises of God. Watch what happens. Why? The promises need no mediator, but the law does. Verse 19 continues, and it says, it was appointed. That was, the law was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. That's Moses. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. The law is not greater than the promises of God because the law needed a mediator. Acts 7:53 says, regarding the gospel and the giving of it and the law, who have received, the Bible says, the Jewish people by the law, by the direction of angels, and you have not kept it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard regarding the gospel, lest we let them drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by our Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? The law was given through angels, given to Moses, then given to the people. But God gave his promises directly through Abraham, which he recorded in his word for us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Let's Make a Deal, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you have faith in Jesus Christ and that you share his gospel of grace with others. Let's Make a Deal, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the real-life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. And by the way, you know we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.